somewhat incorrectly. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. We say things, Lord, like, Lord, send it on down, or move, Lord, or... The reality is the power and presence of God is, he's omnipresent, so he's everywhere present. So the Holy Ghost is here. The power and presence of God is already here. What literally has to move is me. I got to move my pride out of the way. I got to move my worries about tomorrow and what tomorrow holds out of the way. I got to move my situation and all those things to try to encumber my thoughts. And I got to move those things out. The power and presence of God is here. He's everywhere present. He's right here, right now. What has to move? And really, it's not about him sending something down. It's about me sending something up. It's about the praises going up. It's about me lifting my voice. If you might feel after him, you'll find that he's not far from any one of us. It's amazing how that when my hands go up, many times I'll feel the presence come down, but in reality, the presence is there all the time. It's just when I lift up my hands, all of a sudden, it's like there's faith that kind of funnels. And now the power and presence of God that's already here and already present, all of a sudden now, I begin to feel it. I begin to understand, wow, he is here. The Holy Ghost is here. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you lift your voice? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't often do this, but we probably should do a little more than we do. But if you're here in the house this evening and you need prayer for your body, you're sick in your body, you need help, you need strength, you need encouragement, whatever you have need of, you need to know that you're in the right place. All power in heaven and earth is here. Power to heal, the power to help, the power to save, the power to deliver, the power to strengthen. Whatever you have need of, it's here in the house. Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen, come and dine. What do you have need of? Whatever you have need of, you need to know that it's here. The power and presence of God is here. And if you need something from the Lord, thank you, Brother Tom, for stepping out in faith. I want you to gather around those that are coming forward. We're going to, thank you, Jesus. You're such a good God. You care for us. Why don't we begin to cry out unto him right now? Whatever you have need of, you need to know he's here in the house. His strength is here.
Peace. hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me. Cover me. Cover me when I'm hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I'm going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me.
Such a wonderful God. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you for standing. You may be seated. I was praying before service. I knelt before the Lord as I often do. Many times begin my praying heart of repentance. I told God, I said, Lord, I said, I need your help. I said, I don't know what it is, but of late I've just been battling some stuff. And God, I said, I've been frustrated with my kids. And I've been kind of grumpy and cantankerous, and I know you think they're little angels, but sometimes they can be kids. So I said, Lord, help me to handle and bring things back into balance. Help me to do what I need to do to be the father I need to be. And I said, I'm sorry for lashing out on it at him and probably being a little bit rough at times. Maybe God doesn't work this way with you, but he works this way with me. No sooner had the words left my mouth than Austin knelt down beside me and began to pray with me, and then Kinsley came up on my right side and she began to pray. And I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. It's my kids. And Landon crawled up, and God, I didn't ask him no provocation from me at all. It's just something that they, and it was as if God was saying, see, it's okay. I'm so thankful we serve that kind of God. I'm so thankful. Despite our faults and our failures and our humanity, that he still answers in such profound ways. I'm thankful. I think he deserves an applause. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of honor. I pray all the time, God, help me be a better husband. God, help me be a better father. And I know sometimes I don't make the mark. But I'm thankful. Thankful. God is so gracious, and so full of mercy, so full of love. I'm just in awe of the power and presence of God, how that he knows. He knows. He sees all, and I'm thankful. Hallelujah. Why don't you grab your Bibles and stand to your feet? Romans chapter number 2, verses 28 and 29. Turn over to Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 3. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Paraphrase what the Apostle Paul is saying. He is identifying that in the New Covenant and his New Testament believers, while we understand that the Old Covenant was a covenant that God had with the Jews, the race of people, the Jews, how that in this New Testament, in this New Covenant, it is not the outward manifestations, if you will, of the rite, the covenant circumcision that was done by the Jews. That's not what makes us God's chosen. Now what makes us God's chosen is not a fleshly outward circumcision, but a circumcision of the heart and in the spirit, not in the letter. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. Go down Philippians chapter 3, verse number 3. Apostle Paul writing again. He says, for we are the circumcision, which, and then he gives three different identifying factors, if you will, that identifies us as God's chosen. Three things that are a part of those, that are attributes of those who are now the children of God, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So we are the circumcision now. We are God's chosen. We are God's chosen people, not by outwardly manifestations of the rite of the covenant, but by an inward circumcision of the heart. And we are of the circumcision, and we do this. We worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. We are the circumcision. We are God's chosen people. And as God's chosen people, there should be identifying factors in our lives. We should know how to worship God in spirit. We should know how to rejoice in Christ Jesus. And we should have no confidence in our own flesh. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for the opportunity to stand before this precious people, to preach your word. God, I thank you. That you heal, you help, you save. Lord, I pray that someone has ministered in spirit tonight, God, that they would leave here, God, with a greater understanding of what it means to be your chosen people. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for who you are and what you do. We give you glory and honor in the precious name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. As I stated earlier, in the Old Testament, there was a sign of the covenant, a sign that was given unto Abraham, and that sign continued down through the ages. That rite of circumcision, which was an identifiable sign of the covenant between God's chosen people and himself. In the Old Testament, it was outwardly, the Bible says, and it was fleshly, but in the New Testament, the Bible lets us know it's now inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and of the spirit. In the Old Testament, it was in the letter and it was of the flesh. But in the New Testament, it is in the heart and it is of the spirit. While in the Old Testament, there were many external obvious signs, if you will, that one was an Israelite, to the way that they would dress, to the foods that they would eat, to the many different things that they would obey and be adherent to and according to Moses' law. There were many different things that defined or described these people as the seed of Abraham. The Jews, God's chosen people. We oftentimes refer to them as the Israelites, those that were in the Old Testament that followed the different rites and the different
parts of the covenant that identified them as God's chosen people. Now, the Apostle Paul, writing a church of New Testament believers, writing those in Rome and those at Philippi, he's trying to get them to understand it really doesn't matter what race you identify with. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew, Greek, or barbarian. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It really doesn't matter in that sense, in a spiritual sense anymore. What truly matters now is, where's your heart? What truly matters now is, do you have faith? What truly matters now is not an outward, obvious, external sign that is in the flesh, but what truly matters now is what's happening inwardly. What's going on in your heart? And if you are truly of the circumcision, if you are truly one of God's chosen, then there are going to be some identifiable signs. There's going to be a makeup in your life. There are going to be things that are a part of who you are that identify you now as God's chosen. These things are going to be in the Spirit. These things are going to be things that you and I and others can readily identify as being a part of our lives. He said one of the first things that you will know and that must be a part of someone who is of the circumcision, someone who is now chosen of God, someone who is a child of God, they worship God in spirit. Now, make no mistake, we are a worshiping people. And when I say we, I'm not just identifying those that sit in this house tonight. I'm identifying humanity as a whole. We were created to worship. Worship is in our makeup. Worship, if you will, is in our DNA. It is inherent to everyone who has the ability to comprehend and understand what worship may be. And everybody, to some extent and in some fashion, worships. We all worship. And might I say this, if we do not worship God, then we will worship other gods. There is no such thing, as I've stated many times, as neutrality. It is not that I just don't worship anything. Oh, you worship something. I don't care who you are, you worship something. There is something in your life that identifies who your God is. Where you bow, where your altar is, there is something in your life that identifies. Many of you know, probably have heard recently, and I read an article that was very intriguing because it brought some new light to understanding. And though I've always understood that there are idols in the world, and by the sense of idols, I mean maybe they're musicians, or maybe they're sports figures, or maybe they're businessmen, but there are idols in this world where people worship other people. And as I begin to read an article that a minister wrote, and I don't remember the man's name, or I'd give him credit. It was a great little article. It was talking about how many of you know that recently the musical artist by the name of Prince passed away. 57 years of age, he was found alone. I still don't know, as far as I know at this point, exactly what the cause of death was. But at 57 years of age, the man, before a time, was called Prince, and then a symbol, and then no name. The artist formerly known as Prince, and then back to Prince. But the article went on to say that this young man, or this minister rather, before coming to God, he remembers going to concerts where there were performers, much like the man termed the king of pop, Michael Jackson, and now Prince. And he says, I remember distinctly as they had security guards positioned in places because they knew that as the crowds gathered and as the performers came on stage, there would be people fainting. There would be people stammering, unable to speak. There would be people just begin to think, wait a second, there's a parallel here. Wait a second. He said, trust me, these people were worshiping. Trust me, they were doing things and they were getting beside themselves in admiration and applause and absolutely just falling out. And do not think for one moment that what they were doing was not spiritual. It most certainly was. They were were worshiping their God. They were spending, and it amazed me how that in both of these cases, and in the case of Michael Jackson, in the case of the artist known as Prince, how both of them died alone. Though during their prime, they had thousands that would swoon and girls that would just faint out because this man had entered the auditorium, and now miserable men, they die alone. See, the reality is that we will all worship. And if we do not worship God, we will worship something or someone because we were created to worship. But what identifies us as God's chosen people, what identifies us as those of the circumcision, is that we understand that we worship God in spirit. Now, let me bring that home a little bit. Because sometimes, if we're not careful, our worship can be going through the motions. Our worship can be giving lip service to what's going on. Our worship can be just doing what we always do. And even sometimes our worship can be to edify or uplift ourselves or to make people think that we are something that we are not. No, I'm preaching now. We can be demonstrative and we can act like, well, all is good and everything's all right. But then we walk out these doors and we're actually worshiping something else. And if that is the case, then we are not truly worshiping God in spirit. Because when we worship God in spirit, it comes from the inside. It comes from a heart of piety and humility that says, first of all, I'm not worthy to be in His presence. But I'm thankful for His grace and His mercy. I worship Him in spirit. It's not just about what comes out of my mouth. It's not just about me lifting my hands. It's where's the catalyst of that? Where's that coming from when I lift my hands? Where's that coming from when I lift my voice? Is it born in the spirit? Is it coming from the innermost being? Because then, and only then, is it truly worshiping God in spirit. Anything else is just lip service. Anything else is just going through the motion. And might I say this, if we are not careful, even at times when others might think we are worshiping God, we are not worshiping God. We are worshiping our own idea, or we are worshiping our own image. But if we're truly they of the circumcision, then we worship God in spirit. I'm reminded of the words of Moses when he turned to the children of Israel, talking about entering into the promised land, and he makes this statement in Deuteronomy 30:17. He says, "But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away," look what happens. You don't hear, and your heart is turned away from God. This is what happens, and worship other gods. Because when your heart turns away and you don't truly worship God in spirit, oh, you're worshiping. But you're worshiping other gods. You're not worshiping the one true God in spirit. And essentially, then you are not of the circumcision. You are not God's chosen people. If my worship is not worship from the heart, if my worship is not worship that is in spirit, Jesus told the woman at the well, He said, "The time come and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." See, my fear sometimes is that we know how to do this, but do we truly know where it's coming from? Do we truly understand that that's got to come from here? That's got to come from the inside. It's got to come from spirit, because they of the circumcision worship God in spirit. And then He said they rejoice in Jesus Christ. The hero of all heroes. The more I read this book, the more I fall in love with the author. The more I experience the power and presence of Jesus Christ, the more I want. I rejoice in Christ Jesus. I rejoice in the understanding that only through Him and by Him do any of us have any opportunity to worship God in spirit. Only through Jesus Christ do you and I have the opportunity to be they of the circumcision, that is circumcision of the heart, that is in the spirit, that is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and saying, oh, I rejoice in Christ Jesus, because it's only by Him and His sacrifice that I have opportunity to come and worship God in spirit. 1 Peter 1, 8 says, whom having not seen, you love. Though we see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, I haven't seen, catch this, I didn't have the opportunity and the privilege that Peter had in the sense of visibly and physically seeing the man Christ Jesus. Guess what? Even though I didn't physically see Him, and even though I didn't walk with Him as Peter walked with Him, guess what? He walks with me, and I walk with Him in a spiritual sense. And though I can't see Him with my natural eye, in my spiritual eyes, I'm falling more in love with Jesus. I rejoice in Christ Jesus. I want to be more like Him. I want to do as He did. He is my hero. He is the one I seek to be like. He is the man that I rejoice in because of what He did for me. As they of the circumcision, we not only worship God in spirit, but we rejoice in Christ Jesus. And when we sing songs and when we magnify Him in scriptures we read, or sayings that are said, or preaching that is preached, we need to understand it is in rejoicing. It is the understanding. Though I haven't seen Him physically, and though I have not interacted with Him in a natural sense, I have interacted with Him in a spiritual sense. I can feel His loving arms around me. I know He is here. I know His presence is here. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. And then finally, he says, we have no confidence in the flesh. See, here's the thing. If we have no confidence in the flesh, Apostle Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I have no confidence in flesh. But see, here's the reality of the life that we live. We place a lot of confidence in our flesh. You say, well, not me, Pastor. I don't have any confidence in my ability. Well, let me ask you this. If we are not operating in spirit, what are we operating in? They that walk after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit, and they that walk after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So if I am not operating and if I am not walking in the Spirit, then what am I walking in? I'm walking in the flesh. Now, just hold on. I'm not terminating us. I'm not dimming you. I'm saying that we all do a lot of what we do in the confidence of the flesh. We do. I know I wasn't going to get a lot of amens, but the reality is, if we learn more how to worship God in spirit, and we learn how to place no confidence in this flesh, we would begin to realize that it's operation of the Spirit which really makes all the difference. Because we put a lot of confidence in our... Now, I get it. We got to practice. We got to do those things. Preparation is necessary, and all. But I've said it before, I'll say it again. You give me someone who knows and has a walking relationship with Jesus and knows how to worship God in spirit, and you give them the mic under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you give me 100 people that just know how to practice. Catch it. But that one person that has no confidence in the flesh, their confidence is only in the power of God can work through me and it can minister to people. And I may get off key and I may not hit the right note, but guess what? Let me explain to you how I know. How I know that we place a lot of confidence in the flesh. Because many times, if there's a mistake or there's a mess up, everybody notices. I know it's not the kind of preaching that we often want to hear, but the reality is we have come to a place in church where we have a lot of confidence in the flesh. Where we come, and it's not wrong to be prepared. It's not wrong to practice it, but we need to understand that none of those things come anywhere close to operating in the power and presence of God. That none of those things hold a candle to truly allowing the power and presence of God to move and have its free reign and free will in our midst. And the reality is, if I keep putting confidence in this flesh, I'll set the things of the Spirit aside and I'll say, wait a second, I've got more confidence in my ability to make this thing happen. And the reason why we don't operate in faith more, and the reason why there's not more gifts of the Spirit in operation, is simply because we have so much confidence in the flesh. I know it's kind of weird to look at it that way, but that's the reality. Because when it comes to the spirit realm, and when it comes to we know how the church should operate, and when it comes to, well, we know what should be going on and what should be happening, we look at ourselves and say, wait a second, I ain't got what it takes in the spirit to have those things happen. And so we think that it's not we don't have any confidence in the spirit, but that's not really the case, because what it is that we have too much confidence in the flesh. Because if we truly plug into the power and presence of God, we know it's not about us. That's what made, catch it. The man Christ Jesus said, listen, I can do nothing of myself. What he's saying, I have no confidence in my own ability. I am completely and utterly submitted to the Father. I can do nothing as a man. Jesus Christ was saying, I got no confidence in me. All confidence is in God, in Almighty God working through me. There is no confidence in this flesh. If you and I can start getting more to that place, and I know when we look at the example of Jesus Christ, it becomes the challenge becomes somewhat daunting to truly operate in that type of faith in the power and presence of God. So what we fail to do many times is really worship God in spirit and really give of ourselves, and it's simply because we have too much confidence in us. You know, if we would just allow the power in presence of God do what it wants to do, and we would get ourselves out of the way, catch it, and we would allow God to heal and to thrill and to use us in the process, great and mighty things would happen. Guess what? People would begin to identify, and people would begin to see and understand. Well, they won't say it like this. They wouldn't say, well, those are they of the circumcision. But what they would say is, there's something different about them. There's something different about that church. There's something different about the people that attend there. It's not exactly maybe identifiable on the surface, but I can tell you there's something going on. My prayer many times is, God, somehow, some way, shine through me. Let me be a representation of your chosen people. Not to be arrogant or condescending, but somehow there would be a separation that is noted, that somehow people would see a difference in me, that I could have the attributes of day of the circumcision, that I could truly learn to worship you in spirit, that I could truly to rejoice only in Christ Jesus, and that I could have no confidence in this flesh. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Paul said this. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, not in the letter. And then he said this. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. See, my reason many times for doing what I do is I seek for affirmation. I seek for validation. I seek to be appreciated, wanted, desired, instrumental, essential, all those things that make us feel good about who we are. I'm not preaching against those things. But Paul said, listen, he's a Jew inwardly. He is a Jew. He is a child of God who is more concerned about the praise of God than he is the praise of men. He is a Jew. He is God's chosen. He or she is that individual. Why be termed a child of God who's less concerned with what you think about me? More concerned with what he thinks about me. And so I will worship God in spirit. It won't just be lip service. It won't just be some demonstration. No, it will be with a heart that says, God, you are worthy of praise. You are worthy of honor. And my life will be lived in such a way that I will rejoice in Christ Jesus, understanding He is a sufficient sacrifice, and that I will place no confidence in this flesh. Affirmation from others won't mean near as much to me as affirmation from my Father. Praise would be of God, and not of men. Lord, I know the words sometimes heavy to hear. I know those identifying traits and attributes that we seek have in our lives to emulate. Sometimes it's, as is often said, easier said than done. But Lord, when I come into this house, I begin to worship. Don't let it just be from the mouth or from the fingertips. Let it come from the heart. Sure, let it be demonstrated with what is said and what is done, but Lord, let me truly worship you in spirit. Not as a man pleaser, but as a God pleaser, for praise is comely. Lord, I need to learn more how to rejoice in Christ Jesus. And more of my conversations would include the topic of how great He is. But that means someone would call me a religious fanatic, Bible thumper, All they want to do is talk about religion and the Bible and God. Might I ask you this? Is there anything worth talking about more? Let me rejoice in Christ Jesus. Lord, that I would have no confidence in the flesh. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I put my faith and my trust in you. That I be a part of that number. They of the circumcision, the called out ones, the ecclesia, the church of the living God, having signs and attributes in spirit. Can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? God, help me. Help my worship to truly be from the heart. I know it's somewhat cliche, but Lord, let it be with an attitude of gratitude that comes in and says, Lord, thank you that I have another opportunity to be here in your house and lift you up and magnify you. Thank you, Jesus. Let me set everything else aside, the worries of tomorrow, the frustrations of today, God, and let me focus upon you. And let worship come from the Spirit. Let it come from the innermost being. Let my rejoicing, let my boasting be in Christ Jesus. For I have no confidence in me. I do what I do because of who He is. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can you lift your voice?
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come,
teach me to rejoice more in Christ Jesus.
Longing just to breathe,
to worship in spirit,
something that's of worth,
to have no confidence in this flesh.
Your heart, I'll bring. Coming back to the heart of worship. Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you,
it's all about you,
it's all about you, Jesus.
I'm coming back to the
heart of worship. When it's all about you,
it's all about you,
it's all about you. Daughters sing.
I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging me. Lord, I don't want to be more confident in things of flesh and natural than I am things in spirit. Lord, I don't want to find myself rejoicing in other things besides Christ Jesus. I don't want to find myself worshiping anyone but you. Thank you. One more time, can you lift your hands and lift your voice? How we love you, we praise you, we thank you. We honor you, Jesus. You clap your hands, the Lord, He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Somehow the conversation turned spiritual. You find yourself at a loss for words. Stop and think. Where's my confidence come from? Do I believe that the Lord will give me in that moment what I need to say? Will I open my mouth, not in confidence of flesh, but in confidence of spirit that I am chosen of God? Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.
Okay, so I don't think right more. I know I'm high. So I Thank you.